to Discovering Journeys, the podcast where individuals from all walks of life come together to share their experiences. I am your host, Sujala, and in each episode, I bring you unique perspectives from those who have embraced change and growth. Whether you're seeking inspiration, fresh insights, or simply curious about different life paths, this podcast will connect you with journeys that resonate and inspire. Please note, the content shared on this platform is solely for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes. The opinions shared by the guests are their own personal views, as it is based on their personal journeys and should not be construed as professional advice. Thank you. In today's episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Olivier Macondo, an inspiring speaker, author, and wellness coach whose journey highlights the powerful healing potential of a plant-based lifestyle. After facing chronic health issues and excess weight, Olivier made a life-changing decision to transform his health. He now shares how he transitioned to his new lifestyle, the mental shifts he experienced, and how he now helps others on their health journeys. Whether you are curious about plant-based living or seeking inspiration for change, Olivier's story will leave you motivated and empowered. As we approach to the end of the year, it's the perfect time to start thinking about small changes for a healthier future. Why not commit to adding just one healthy habit to your routine in 2025? Sometimes it's those little steps that lead to the biggest transformations. Hello, Olivier. Welcome to my podcast and thank you for being my guest today.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. I'm really, really grateful to be on your show.
Please tell me, how did you get introduced to the plant-based diet?
Like I said, originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. So when I was growing up, at that time, there was no computer games, there were no video games and stuff like that. So we were forced to play outside, running around, climbing trees. So we were always, always in movement. And for example, I remember when we were during the summer holiday, I will wake up maybe at 7, at 8 I'll be out with my friends playing football. And during the weekend, we'll go hiking. So when I was growing up, I was very lean. I was not overweight and stuff like that. And my problem only started when I left my country. I went first of all to South Africa and then I came to the UK. And I was exposed to a lot of animal product, a lot of dairy product, and a lot of processed food. And that's how my problem started. And at my heaviest, I was 100 kilos. And I starting to have loads and loads of problems, health problems. For example, I was suffering from high blood pressure. And people should know that high blood pressure is a very dangerous disease because 50% of heart attacks, strokes, and problems with kidneys are created by high blood pressure. So I was suffering from that. And I even remember there was a day where I was waking up at 3 a.m. With a sharp pain in my chest. And I had to wake my wife up and she had to call the ambulance. They came, they took me to the hospital and my blood pressure was through the roof. And I stayed over there a day and a half and they gave me some medication and all that. And then I was suffering as well from massive headaches every day or every other day. And in fact, I had to have some painkillers in my wallet all the time because of that. I had dandruff, chest pain, back pain, abscesses, and a lot of dental problems because I had a very bad eating habit. So even at midnight, I would have my bottle of Coca-Cola with some biscuits, some cakes, and stuff like that. And because of that as well, I was always, always tired. So on the day that I had to go to work, I will drag myself out of bed. And on the day where I had to, I was staying at home, I was off work, I would sleep until 1 p.m. So it was really, really bad. And basically, the doctor told me that I'll be on medication for the rest of my life. But at that time, even though I didn't know what I know now, I said no. I said I'm not going to go on medication for the rest of my life. I find it very bizarre. I don't want that. And the doctor asked me, okay, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to join a martial art club. So I joined a martial art club while I was doing karate for 4 years, hoping that my blood pressure will go down. But obviously, there was no change. No changes. So I was really, I didn't know what to do. And one day, out of the blue, I was watching a program on YouTube, and there was an Indian yogi. Maybe you know him. His name is Sadhguru.
Yes.
He was talking on the... he was saying that if you stop eating animal product, you will be able to reverse 70% of the chronic diseases. And because I've been following him for a long time, and I trusted him, and I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So it was a Wednesday that I watched the program. On Thursday, I came back from work. I had my last meal of meat. And on Friday, I went cold turkey. And what happened is that after 4 months of me changing my lifestyle, I went back to the doctor, who told me that I'll be on medication for the rest of my life. And my blood pressure was completely gone. And after 9 months, I was able to lose 35 kilos, and all my chronic diseases went away. So I don't have any, I don't suffer from high blood pressure anymore, don't know headaches, no back pain, no abscesses. Every single ailment is completely gone. And for the past 8 years, I've not been sick a single day, not even a cough or something like that. And for the past 9 years, I've not taken a single pill, aspirin or paracetamol and stuff like that. And I've also been able to really slow down or reverse my aging process, because a lot of people, when they see me, they think that I'm in my late 20s, but I'm actually 54.
Wow, that's been quite a journey and quite a transition, Olivier. So let us break down the transition phases. Did you believe in it first when you heard about it?
For me, it was not a question of believing or not believing. I didn't know what was going to happen. I have no idea. But it's just because I trusted Sadhguru, I said, okay, I'm going to do that. But I didn't know if it was going to work. And in fact, the following week, I had my situation got worse. For a week, I had headaches for 3 days that I've never had in my entire life. I had more cold sore, my joints starting to ache even more. So my symptom got worse. And even my wife asked me to stop. But I said, no, I'm going to continue. And then after a week, all the symptoms disappeared. I was starting to feel a lot of energy, a lot of mental clarity. And from that, everything got better and better.
How did you start changing your diet? Like, what were your first few steps?
So the first few steps that I did, because obviously, like I said, I went cold turkey. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what food to eat. So I had the idea to buy a vegan recipe book. And from that vegan recipe book, I started to look of what to eat. And I started to incorporate, because normally I used to eat a lot of times a day. But when I bought that book, I started to do a little bit of some research. So I went to 2 meals a day. So in the morning, I will, not in the morning, because I don't eat in the morning anymore. At 12 noon, I will have some fruit. And then in the evening, around 6, 7 p.m., I will have some cooked food. For example, I will have some brown rice with some with beans or with mushroom. Or I will have plantain bananas with cauliflower. Just things that that comes off the ground. So I started to introduce that very slowly. And by me doing some research and stuff like that, I started to look at a lot of things that I was able to do. So the first changes that I introduced was to buy a vegan recipe book and starting to implement the recipes that I was able to see inside, because I didn't know what to eat.
You told me that it, like, after 4 months, when you went back to the doctor, he said that, you know, it was getting better. So when did you start realizing that it was working out?
After a week, just after a week that I starting to see that it was working. Because after a week, like I said, all the detox symptoms disappeared. And because I was always tired. But as soon as after that week, I had loads of energy. I didn't understand where it was coming from. And after a week, I lost 5 kilos just after a week.
Wow. That's like unbelievable as well when you say 1 week can change so much.
Yeah.
How did you change your mindset?
Yeah, Because the mindset is something that is very, very important. Because you will see that a lot of people, when they arrive at the end of the year, they will say, okay, I'm going to maybe lose weight, or I will stop smoking, or I will do this and that. But you will see that after maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maximum 4 weeks, they will revert back to their old habit because of their mindset. So the mindset is something that is very important in any endeavor that you would like to do in your life. You need to have the right mindset. And for me, instead of using the willpower, because with the willpower, you can go so far. But what I did use is the why power, because... when you use the why power, you find a reason for you to stick on the track that you decided to do. And for some people, for example, if they want to stop smoking, they will say, okay, I will just do that so that my kids and my family can be in good health, just by me avoiding smoking in the house and stuff like that. And for me, the why power was because, like I said, I was always sick. And the way that I was feeling, for example, when you have the flu for a week and a half, you will be in bed, you will have your blocked nose, you will have massive headaches. And I didn't want to go back to that kind of feeling, or the way I was tired all the time. And that was kept me on track. Every time when I was thinking about the way I used to feel, I would say to myself, Olivier, you need to stay on track. You need to continue in that way. And as the time was passing, it became a second nature.
Was there a time where you felt, you know, like a craving to go back to the old food, what you were used to eat? How did you not allow yourself to eat it again?
No, for me, people will find it maybe a little bit bizarre, but I've never craved my old food. I don't know why, because I had a very strong mindset and I didn't crave. So, for example, for the past 8 years, I've never had any piece of meat because I just say I'm not going to have that anymore, or some dairy product and stuff like that. So for me, it was a no-go. But for example, instead of me eating animal product at the beginning, maybe I will buy some tofu or some tempeh or some fake meat and stuff like that just to replace. But as time was passing by, are starting to really eliminate even those processed food, because processed food at the end of the day, they are still processed food and they are not good for the human mechanism.
I think many people would feel jealous because there are people who will feel a lot of craving even though they want to choose a healthier lifestyle. What are the misconceptions you have heard about the plant-based diet?
Yeah, so the misconception is that, first of all, people will say, okay, you don't eat meat. So where are you going to get your protein from? People always ask that. Look at the gorilla. With the gorilla, we share 99% of the same DNA, which means that our digestive tract are practically the same. But when you look at gorilla, they eat fruit, vegetables, and tender root. Gorillas, they do not eat meat. But where do they get their protein from? When you look at the gorilla, it's very muscular, it's very powerful, it's very strong. But where do they get its protein from? Or you look at the rhino, you look at the giraffe, you look at the cow. All of them are very powerful animals, the elephant and all that. But they don't eat meat, but they still have protein. So I get my protein from the fruit, the vegetables, the nuts, the seeds that I eat. That's the first misconception that people have. And then another misconception is that when you start eating plant-based nutrition, you'll be weak. And that's very, very false. Because in my own experience, I was always tired when I was eating animal product and all that. Because when you look at animal, when you eat animal product, what's happened is that the bowel transit time is too long. And what do I mean by the bowel transit time? For example, when you eat a piece of fruit, it will take 3 to 4 hours to pass through a system. Vegetables, it will take 12 hours to pass through a system. You eat raw cooked vegetables, it will take between 24 and 30 hours to pass through a system. But if you eat meat, fish, or chicken, it takes 72 hours or 3 days to pass through a system. So meat takes too long to pass through a system. And that's why you will see that carnivores, they've got very short intestine, while herbivores and human beings, they've got longer intestine because fruit and vegetables, pass through the system very quickly. And when you eat meat, it starts rotting inside the gut. And that's why a lot of people are always tired. And that's why I was always tired, like I said. But when I stopped eating all these animal products, I've got a lot of energy. And I don't even remember one day waking up in the morning and being tired. It doesn't happen anymore, even when I go to sleep at 2 a.m.
I'm a vegetarian myself. I have been born in a vegetarian family, and it's by birth and by choice I'm a vegetarian. So it feels good to hear, but I'm not yet off the dairy products yet. And this is another question as a vegetarian I have in the recent times, which I've seen, is there are many people who have their B12 low. And they say that the only way you can get your B12 is via animals.
That's completely false, because when you look at the bacteria in our mouths, in the saliva, in the intestine, they can produce the B12. You don't have to eat animal product to have the B12. You don't have to do that. And even when you have the B12, the body is so intelligent that it can recycle the B12 all the time. So you don't need any source of B12 like animals and stuff like that. You don't need that. And even when you look at the quantity that we need for an entire life, it's not even more than your pinky.
What would you suggest to naturally increase your B12?
Yeah, so for me, for example, if I have to say to people still want to increase their level of B12, they can eat a lot of oranges and mushrooms.
There is a lot of buzz which is happening around dairy products that it is no longer good and it is no longer efficient what it used to be. And why do you think so?
Yeah, so for me, first of all, what I will say is that when you look at the dairy products, you will see that human beings are the only species in the entire creation to drink milk from another species. You will never ever see that. You will never see, for example, a cat drinking dog's milk or a goat drinking cow's milk, because every milk is specific to its own species. And what do I mean by that? For example, if you look at the rabbit milk, it contains 10 times more protein than the human milk. And why is that? It's because when the baby rabbit is born, it's so small that it needs to double itself within the first week if you want to sustain life. You look at the seal's milk, it contains lots of 40% fat, because the baby seal needs to produce fat very quickly because it's very cold in the North Pole. You look at the human's milk, it contains lots of lactalbumin because we need to produce amino acid. You look at the cow's milk, it contains lots of casein. So you can see that every milk is specific to its own species. And when you look at the cow's milk, it contains lots and lots of growth hormones and lots of calcium. Because when the baby calf is born, it weighs something like 30 kilos. And after 3 months, it needs to triple that weight. And later on in life, it's going to be turned into a big bull or a big cow. And when we drink cow's milk, our body will analyze and see that now we've got too much calcium. And when we go to urinate, we're going to lose that excess calcium to the expense of our own calcium. And when you look as well, you will see that in the cow's milk, you've got lots of phosphorus. And again, the body will have to neutralize that phosphorus. And to do so, it's going to leach out the calcium from our bones, our teeth, and our muscles. And that's why you will see a lot of people who drink cow's milk will start suffering from osteoporosis, which is a condition which makes your bone brittle. And you will see that in the countries where the milk intake is very high, you will see high incidence of osteoporosis as well. And you will see as well that in the entire creation, human beings, again, are the only species who drink milk when they're adult. You will never see any animal drinking milk when they're adult. And there's an enzyme which is called lactase, which enables people to digest the milk. And when we reach the age between 2 and 4 years old, that enzyme ceases to be produced, which is suggestive that we need to stop drinking milk. And people need to be aware of the fact that 70% of the world population is lactose intolerant. And when I say lactose intolerant, it doesn't necessarily mean that people will start suffering from a severe allergic reaction. No, it can manifest itself in a subtle way, such as chronic fatigue, chronic inflammation, digestive problems. And here I'm going to give you a list created by dairy product. You've got anemia, ear infection, eczema, asthma, osteoporosis, cancer, obesity, appendicitis, and the list goes on. Even if they say that all the old milk was good, or I don't think that in any way we have to drink milk. If we have to drink milk, it needs to be human milk. That's what we need to eat, to drink. And usually because I'm a speaker, and when I go to give talks, I will ask people, for example, in the audience, I will say in the audience, if there's a woman who is breastfeeding, and if she can express her milk and put that in a glass, and I ask the audience, who will be willing to drink that milk? And most people say no, they don't want to drink human's milk. But they're okay to drink cow's milk, and that's very bizarre. So in any way, we don't have to drink cow's milk because it's not designed for the human mechanism.
How can you replace it?
People say that, oh, you need calcium. If we want calcium, then you can eat lots of greens. For example, like kale, like spinach, like chia seed, like all these nuts. All of them, they've got lots of calcium. So if you really, really want to supplement your calcium, you think that you need more, then you need to eat those food, all the greens, all the nuts, and all the seeds. And for people who still want more, they can still use the alternative dairy product. For example, the soya milk, the rice milk.
Oat milk, almond milk.
Oat milk, yes. Yes, almond milk, all of them, they can have that.
What about people who love cheese?
Yes, if for people who love cheese, if they still really want cheese, you've got vegan cheese that they sell, and I've tried them. They taste nice, but they're still processed food.
This is something I was about to mention. No doubt vegan food has become much more visible over the last few years. You can easily find it in the supermarkets, but just like along with the other products, many of these options are still processed.
For me, I think people can use the vegan processed food just as a transition food. So, for example, if you were eating meat, all these animal products, all the dairy products, and for some reason you are not able to stop that directly, then you can use the vegan processed food as a transition food. But at the end of the day, it's not the food biologically designed for the human mechanism. For example, if you want to have some vegan processed food, have that, but very small amount and less frequently. That's what people need to do. They can use that as a transition food, but at some point, they really need to stop that. Because, for example, the other day, I went to the supermarket and I saw two young guys. I presume they were vegans. And in their trolley, it was full of processed food. There was no fruit, no vegetables, nothing like all the trolley was full of processed food. And people will say, oh, but I'm vegan. Yes, you're a vegan, but you're going to make yourself sick if you eat that way.
How does one start adapting to a plant-based diet, like slowly?
So what people need to do, they don't have to do like me, who went cold turkey. That's not the good approach. Because when you do that, you can have, like myself, some detox symptoms, and this will put most people off. So that's not the right way to do. What you have to do, you need to start introducing those food very slowly. So, for example, let's say you were eating animal products 7 days a week. Maybe what you can do, you can decrease that to 5 days a week. And for 2 days, you don't eat animal product. You introduce a little bit of fruit. And then maybe after a month or something, you go down to 4 days a week where you eat meat. 3 days, you don't. You introduce those changes very slowly. And for example, for the dairy product, you can decrease that. For example, if you were, let's say, eating cheese every day, maybe you can reduce that to 5 days. So you introduce those changes very slowly over a period of time. And then you will be able to see that the transition will be able to be done without any problems. So that's what people need to do. Go slowly. But the key is to do that consistently.
What should a person do if they start craving? How do you divert your mind?
Yeah, so for me, what I will ask them to do, first of all, is to have a very strong mindset. This is something that people need to have. But what they can do, for example, if they used to eat a lot of chocolate, they crave really chocolate, what they can do, they can go and buy vegan chocolate. The vegan chocolate, when you, if they give you that, you won't even know that it's a vegan chocolate. They test just that the chocolate made with cow's milk. For example, they want to eat meat. What they can do, they can go and buy, I don't know, some tofu. They can make some tofu.
Okay, so the best way is to find an alternative for your favorite things and go to it and not go to the to your old favorite.
Yes.
And now coming to the last three questions before we end. What are the three things you would say to stop eating as of today?
If I have to ask people to stop to eat, three things, I will ask them to stop eating meat, animal product, to stop eating all the dairy product. I will ask them to stop eating most processed food. Most processed food, what they use is what is called aspartame. The aspartame will disturb your nervous system. It's a poison for the nervous system. And when you look at aspartame, it is sold in more than 10,000 products that then sell in supermarket. You see aspartame inside. And when you eat aspartame, it's going to give you fibromyalgia, severe PMS, multiple sclerosis, blindness, birth defect, hyperactivity in children. And they put that in more than 10,000 products sold in supermarket.
Wow.
Because what people have seen is that people were saying, oh, no, we don't want the sugar, because most people are starting to see that sugar is not good. The refined sugar is not good. And then those scientists have replaced the refined sugar with a sweetener called aspartame. And aspartame is even more devastating. So I will ask people to stop eating aspartame.
And which are the few products can you enlighten us?
Yeah, for example, Coca-Cola, they've got aspartame. Toothpaste, they've got aspartame.
Toothpaste?
Mouthwash, they've got aspartame. Yes, toothpaste, they got the sweet, the sugary that they put in the toothpaste. It's aspartame. Most of the soft drinks, they put aspartame. That's why I said 10,000, more than 10,000 products. They put aspartame inside.
I really expected you would say chips and all the processed juices and everything. I was very sure of that. But when you said toothpaste and other things, it was it's quite shocking. Okay.
Pharmaceutical industry is the biggest industry in the world. And you need to live with sick when people are sick. When people are sick, they can sell them the medication and all that. And those pharmaceutical industry, they work with the food industry. And the food industry, they make the wrong food. They make addictive food. And when you are sick, you will go and buy all these medication. And when you start with one medication, it's going to give you some side effects. And to combat those side effects, you will have to buy another one and you get into that loop. So I don't think that people will be able, the food that they sell to us at the supermarket, I don't think that they will try to make that better. What people need to do, they need to reclaim their health and start to really take their health in their own hands. And I think most people can do that if they want. Being sick is just a choice.
Next question is... what healthy tips can you give for a morning routine and before to bed?
So first of all, for the morning routine, what I can say to people, the best thing is to start with meditation. What is very important as well is to do some physical exercise. For example, some stretching exercise, because you've been sleeping, your body was at rest, and now you need to keep your body moving. And after that, you can have a glass of water as a routine in the morning. At night, what they can do is that, first of all, they need to stop eating 3 to 4 hours before they can go to sleep. Because what's happening is that when you go to sleep with the food inside your stomach, already at that time, your metabolism try to slow down. And when you go to sleep with food in your stomach, it's not going to be digested properly, and this can create a horde of problems. And that's why, for example, for me, my last meal is at 6 p.m. So if people can really eat maybe latest at 7 p.m., that would be better. And what they can do as well is to stop using their phones, their laptops and stuff like that because of the blue light.
What people can find as an alternative when they crave for sweet?
Maybe what I'm going to suggest will be not good for people, but what I would tell them is to eat fruits. They can have some vegan cakes or vegan ice cream or stuff like that. Or
like bake the cake at home.
Yes. That's even better if they can bake the cake at home or make donuts and stuff like that. Homemade, that would be even better.
In your entire journey, what is it that you have faced like shocking for you in your food journey?
In my food journey, what I've found out is that a lot of people, especially from my family and my friends, have not been encouraged. A lot of people have made a very, very bad comment about me. For example, at some point, because like I said, I've lost 35 kilos. I was weighing 100 kilos. Now I'm 65. And some people were even suggesting that I was HIV positive because I lost a lot of weight. And they say, why have you lost a lot of weight? Maybe you are sick and stuff like that. And especially from my country, people are not used to see people not eating meat. And some people have suggested that I'm doing black magic because I don't eat meat. So that's a little bit of the criticism that I've received over the time because of my the way I've changed my way of eating.
Yeah, that must be hard to hear it from your own people for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's very difficult when you hear that.
And you have written a book as well.
Yes. I've written a book, which is The Plant-Based Nutrition, How It's Going to Change Your Life. And in the book, it's divided in four parts. In the first part, I try to show people that we are herbivores. In the second part of the book, I try to show people the damaging or the negative effects of animal product, dairy product, and processed food. And in the third part of the book, I talk about my own transformation, the way I've been able to lose 35 kilos, the way I've been able to reverse all my chronic diseases. And in the last part, I give people a lot of tips and tricks for them to be in good health so that people can really transform their lives. So that's basically what I'm talking in my book.
That's great. It can be like a reference point for people who are trying to understand or trying to adapt a plant-based lifestyle. I shall share the link to the book and to your website in the show notes so that they can refer to it. Thank you so much, Olivier. It has been a pleasure. You were very straightforward and very informative. And thank you so much for being on my podcast.
And I would like as well to say thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be on your show because it gives people like me the opportunity to share my story. They think that there's no way out, but with my story, they can see that there's a way out. But when I started this process, I was 46. Today, I'm 54, and my health is getting better and better. And I would like really people to understand that there's a way out. They don't have to be sick. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to share my story. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.